Because when Adam and Eve sinned, the curse was put into motion like a train going down a track. And the thing is moving, and if you and I get in the way, we're going to get hit. And if we get hit, we say, God, please stop the train and get it off my back. Well, for God to do that, He's got to stop the curse. He's got to erase the curse. He has to reverse the curse. That rhymes. He has to reverse the curse. And that requires a supernatural intervention of God's almighty will and power. And so it's something tremendously important for God to give you a blessing, because 9 times out of 10, that blessing is going to require a supernatural act upon His part to stop something that has been set into motion by the fall of Adam and Eve. So that's the second basic truth. If God is to bless you, He's got to do something about the curse that's given you a fit. And that's why you're in the mess you're in, because somewhere the curse is connected to it 9 times out of 10. Just about every problem is curse-related in some way. For if you were in heaven, you would not have the problem, because heaven is the only curse-free place that I know of. And the third basic truth is that as a Christian, you are more blessed today, right this moment, than you would be today if you were not a Christian this moment. You're better off today than you would be if you weren't a Christian today. And I don't just mean if you died and went to hell. I'm saying you're better off today. You have less of a curse problem. You're in less of a curse predicament than you would be today if you were not a Christian. Now, there's no way I can prove that to you, because you can't go back, and I wouldn't want you to go back and reverse the situation to find out where would you be and what would you be tonight if you weren't a Christian tonight. I don't know where you'd be. You may be in the grave. You may be in a bar drunk. You may be a dope addict. I don't know what you'd be, where you'd be. You may be in prison. No matter how many things you have escaped, how many curses have been blocked by God, you know nothing about, because He's a blessing God. He likes to bless. Now, as a Christian, our position is that of a child coming to Jesus. And let us say He sits us on His knees, and our Heavenly Father says, "Can I bless you?" Now, can you picture your child doing that? Daddy can the child, "Can I bless you, kid?" The kid says, "Yeah, just give me all I can get. You bless, 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 bless." Now, what's wrong with that? I know of no one that has more blessings than the Lord. And only in heaven are we going to escape the curse. And so since I'm going to face the situation of one curse after another, yes, Lord, you really need some blessings. You know, I really do. Then I closed the message last Sunday night by promising to tell you how to increase the number of blessings that God will put on your head. Do you want more? Now, there's some folks saying, "No, I don't want more. I got all of them. I don't want any more." Okay. I mean, that's what you want. That's what you're going to get. I'll tell you this. I believe there are more blessings in the hand of God than I'll ever get. I can't even think of all the things He's got in His hand. I told you last week about I love to play a game with my grandkids. I close my hand. They want to see what's in my hand. Well, I tell you, there's more things in God's hand than I'll ever know. They're all blessings. No jokes. They're all blessings. Look at Ephesians 3:20. And you'll get a chance to use your Bible tonight over 30 times. You say, "Well, we're going to look what tonight." We are. Ephesians 3:20. Now he says, "Now unto God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or even imagine." Man, that puts a lot of blessings in that hand, doesn't it? I can't even imagine the capacity of the blessings that's in my Father's hand. And He has the power to give me every one of these blessings. Some of them I know I'd like to have, but I don't know everything. I'll never imagine what's there. Remember the song we mentioned this last week, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing"? Some seem to get showers, and some seem to get a sprinkle. And some say, "I've been in a drought, preacher. I don't get a drop. I don't even get dew." I think you're wrong there. But if you're not having showers of blessings, let me ask you, why? And you say, no, let me ask you why. Okay, I'll tell you why. But I mean, I want to know, if I'm not getting showers of blessings tonight, why not? Did Jesus say of the one child, oh, I'm going to bless you with 50 blessings, and the next child, hey, I'm going to give you 10, kid. I don't believe that. I don't believe you have the same blessings in God's hand for every one of us tonight, but we all have a full share of blessings. Not only do you, I feel like, get more than you need, you really can't even want enough to fulfill how many blessings are in His hand. But if you're not getting tonight the fullness of your blessings, you're losing them. You've already lost them. If there were blessings for you today that God wanted to give and you haven't gotten a day chance, you're going to lose them today. There's a day's blessings for a day's needs. Now, how can I increase the blessings that I'm going to get from the Lord? Now, the list I'm going to give you of how is not complete. And you can add to it if you'd like to, or you can forget it. I mean, if you don't want the blessings, that's your business. I remember a man at Lufkin one time, I was at church, we parked at the grocery store. And this guy was standing in front of our parked car, in front of the grocery store door, passing out silver dollars. And my wife and I, we sit there, we didn't get out of the car. And we sit there and we watch this guy. He walk up and he say, would you like to have this? And the people look at it, and they look at him, they look at that silver dollar, he said, here, take it. I told Mary, I'll tell you what, I'm going to try that booger. I'm going to go up there. I got out of the car, have that. I said, sure, thank you. I took it. No catch. And I walked in the store with my silver dollar. When I turned out, he was gone. I said, go get some more. You know? I'll take it all of them. Can I have another one? You know, like a machine. I take them. But he couldn't eat by the taste of them. They all thought, that's got to be a catch. Well, there was. You got to take it. I took it. Do you remember that? You remember that? I don't forget things like that. I don't meet many folks in my life passing out silver dollars, you know. And I sure enough, I'm not making this up. That man wasn't me passing them out, I'll tell you that. But God, you know, if you don't want the blessing, God said, all right, you don't get the blessing. And you'll get some automatically because of God's grace and God's mercy. You'll get some. The sun will shine more on you, whether you pray about it or not. What you're doing, God will bless you. You know, He loves you. He's going to bless you. But you're missing the biggest majority of blessings, and you're not getting much more than an unsaved person's getting, then there's something wrong, folks. There's something wrong. And the only reason is we just won't take the blessing. Now, I want to give you some things. If you want a kind of illustration, how do I fertilize my blessing tree? I won't teach you that tonight, how to fertilize your blessings. So it'll grow more blessings for you. I want you to have the blessings. I want the blessings. Okay? Number one, and I put this number one only because I feel like it's number one. If you can't do this one and you won't do this one, I feel like the hand of God is just going to close up on the blessings. And I'm going to give you eight of them. Eight things you can do to increase your blessings. But if you don't do number one, you can forget the other seven just about. I won't say definitely, but I mean, you're going to really hurt yourself in the blessing field if you don't do number one. First of all, you need to intensify your struggle with the enemy. Intensify your struggle with the enemy. As soon as you are made a child of God, the Lord slaps armor onto you, throws a sword in your hand, and says, now right there stands the devil, the world, and the flesh. Go fight. Fight. So that they don't destroy you, resist temptation. Fight. Take a stand on the Word of God for the commands of God. And you say, I will not do that. And fight. Now, brethren, a lot of your blessings are going to be conditioned on whether or not you're willing to fight. If you're willing to resist temptation, willing to resist the devil, willing to take steps to indicate to the Lord, I'm going to win this battle. I'm not going to be knocked down, drugged down, shot down, put down. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to overcome this temptation. Now, brother, you take that attitude, and I guarantee you, you're in line for blessing. You're in line for blessing. Re-intensify your struggle with the enemy. Because one thing the devil does not want you doing is obeying the commandments of the Lord. Now, right off, let me say this. If you want to be blessed of God, you're going to have to learn the commandments. So I can't even quote the 10. Well, you better learn them. Just learn them. If you want to keep the policeman off your back on the streets, you better learn the traffic laws. You better know what the stop sign means. You better know what a red light is and a yellow light is. I mean, you got to learn some things. Learn where the brake pedal is and where the gas pedal is. There's a difference. See? Which gear to put it in? Driving forward and back. I mean, the things you have to learn. Because, well, I'm not going to learn the commandments. You better. How are you going to fight? You won't even know who the enemy is. You walk out and say, which one of you guys is my enemy? They're not going to tell you. If you're going to be blessed of God, you got to know His commandments. What are you going to fight for? You fight for right. You fight for the law. But if you don't know it, you can't fight. So yes, you're going to have to learn the commandments of the Lord. And then when you're confronted with a situation where you know you're going to have to take a stand, well, brother, you stand. And you fight to win. And I'll guarantee you do that, and the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. And the more you fight, the more you'll get blessed. I believe that. And the less you fight, the less you're going to get blessed. Some of you might have to fight to get up to church. I mean, there was a real struggle for you to make it up here. But you fought. And you're here. Hey, there's a blessing for you tonight that won't be yours if you stay home and lost the fight. I don't get many amens, but I mean, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Now, I don't know of anything that will influence God's blessing of your life like this. For out of this blessing and out of this requirement will flow many of the other blessings. And if you don't do this one, then God's hand just shuts up. And you say, well, I'm just going to skip number 1, Billy, and we'll move on down to 2 through 8. No. No. Because there's no way. We're going to move into number 1, and we want to get past number 1. So, folks, this is not an option to be blessed of the Lord. If you want to live in poverty blessing, well, then skip number 1. And I'll guarantee you that's where you'll be. Look, if you will, at Psalms 66:18. Psalm 66:18. Nothing threatens your blessings like sin. Satan will rob you blind. What's he going to steal from you? He'll steal your blessings. He'll steal you blind. If there's one thing Satan doesn't want, it's you blessing God. And the second thing is God blessing you. He's going to steal your blessings. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, now notice, and I'm going to change your word here, the Lord's not going to bless me. It really says the Lord's not going to hear me. But what am I asking Him for? A blessing. Huh? What am I asking Him for? If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I won't fight sin, if I won't put sin out of my life, if I won't keep God's commandments, if I don't stand, then God says, will be no blessings. No blessings. That's it. And so you're going to have to intensify your standing power. Alright? Look at Psalms 5:12. Lord, for thou, Lord, now notice, will bless the righteous. Now the person that stands for right, and that makes him righteous. If I stand against the world and the flesh and the devil, and I have victory over temptation, then I am righteous. I have done a righteous thing. I have won a righteous battle. And it says here, the Lord will bless the righteous, and with favor will thou compass him as with a shield. We say, oh, God, protect me. You want that blessing? That blessing comes from standing and being righteous. Huh? Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Verse 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. You have to know them now. And you shall keep His testimonies, and you shall keep His statutes, which He has commanded you. All right. And thou, verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Now notice, then it will be well with you. There's the blessings. And you can go into the land and possess it, And that's the blessing. You want it to be good with you? That's blessing. All you got to do is the first part. That's keep the commandments. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Whatsoever we ask, and all the time, folks, when you ask for something, you're asking for a blessing. Whatsoever we ask, we receive from Him. We get the blessing. Why? Because we have kept His commandments. And we have done those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, if I don't keep His commandments and don't do things pleasing in His sight, my showers of blessings have just dwindled down to a trickle, a sprinkle, if I get that. That's number one. Bypass this one, and you can bypass almost all the rest of them. Almost all the rest of them. Second, intensify your prayer for blessings. Intensify your prayer for blessings. You know the verse in James that says, you have not what? Because you ask not. You want a blessing? Bless for it. I always learn, you know, if a child wants something, and they learn this pretty quick, go to the grocery store and check out the counter. I want this, I want this, I want you. How's the parent going to know? Well, he doesn't know. I asked for it. You say, well, I don't know what I ought to ask for. Hey, if I was a kid, I'd take the whole rack, pop. I don't have to be specific. I don't have to be. It might be better. I might get exactly what I want, but if I'm not going to get exactly what I want, I'll take anything else you'll give me. I mean, when it comes to blessings, I'm not choosing. I have some preferences, but if there are some that you want to give me I don't think about, I don't name, hey, give those to me also. So I can get kind of vague in my prayer request. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. You never heard of old Jabez. I hadn't either. I read this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me. And now, Jabez gets kind of specific. He lays down some things he'd like to. But he says, bless me, enlarge my coast, give me more property. And also, may your hand be with me mightily. And may you keep me from evil. That's the first one now. That it may not grieve me. And God granted him what he asked. How did he get it? He prayed for it. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get every blessing you pray for. But I'll tell you this, you're going to lose a bunch if you don't ask. I can guarantee you that. I think you can be specific and you can be general. But I mean, just take what you can get. So pray, God bless me. Now, that's not too hard to learn, is it? God, bless me. I've already taught you a prayer request. I ain't taught you. You already know that one. I can't hardly stand up here and pray without saying to somebody, God bless them. You know, that's what you want them to do. And then I'll say, well, God, you got 1,000 ways you can bless them. I don't have to spell it out to you. I mean, you're God. You're their Father. You know their needs. So you decide how you want to bless them. I'm just telling you to do it. Now, what's wrong with that? Very close to the line of that's one you may not know about. You solicit the prayers of other people. Paul in his letters would often say, pray for me. Why? Because Paul knew he would get some blessings from God as a result of their prayer. He wouldn't get from God as a result of his prayer. You always hear the missionaries come. If you don't do anything else, pray for me. Why? Because you are going to get that missionary some blessings that he can't get by his own prayers. So the more he's got praying for him, the more folks he's going to get to bless him. Look at Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. I want to show you something here. You say, well, I got to be real specific. Missionary, why do you want me to pray? I don't have to be specific. Not at all. I like this kind of shopping. I don't have to have a catalog, page number, item number. I mean, I like this kind of shopping. All right, look as well at Numbers chapter 6, verse 23. Speak to Aaron. Now, Aaron was the priest. And you speak to his sons, who also were the other priests. And here's what I want you to tell them to do. And I want you to bless the children of Israel. You say, well, couldn't they bless themselves? Yeah. But he went to the priest and he says, I want you to bless the children. And here's what I want you to say. Now, he didn't give a long list of everything everybody out there needed. That would have been miles and miles. Every family would have had a special problem, a special need. I mean, the curse would have hit everybody. Everybody had something they needed. So the priest would have been praying from now to doomsday. We have a prayer list 5,000 miles long. There's no way. He said, God said, now here's the prayer I want you to pray that I will answer. Now notice God's prayer. God wrote this prayer to get blessings from God. Now how clear can you get from that? He said, you pray this. Repeat after me. The Lord bless thee, and the Lord keep thee. And may the Lord make his face shine upon thee, and may the Lord be gracious unto thee. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and may the Lord give thee peace. Amen. You say, what is he talking about? I have no idea. The Lord says, you just pray that vague prayer about blessing, and I'll take care of the rest. I want you, as the priest, to pray for them. If you go to Revelation 1, 5 through 6, you'll find out that now, brother, we as Christians are all priests. You say, well, preacher, you pray for me. That's fine. But I'm not the priest any more than you're the priest. We're all priests. We call this intercessory prayer. Interceding. Getting blessings for other people. It would be good for you to memorize. This really is the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament. Memorize it. And then you name some person, and then you say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and make his face shine on thee, and be gracious unto thee, and lift his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. I mean, just repeat the words of the prayer. Just repeat them. And the Bible says, God will bless you. Now, that's simple, isn't it? I hope it is. All right? So solicit the prayers of other believers for you. And they say, what do you want? Just tell them, just pray that prayer in number 6 for me. Bless them. Bless them. All right? Fourth, intensify your praises of God. I think some people still think on Sunday morning we're just going through a little exercise that pleases the preacher, makes him happy, and we'll put up with it, and we don't particularly see much interest in praise. But let me tell you something, folks. Praise will get you blessings. Now, I want you blessed. You say, you mean just singing those songs will get a blessing from me? Absolutely guaranteed. Guaranteed. Praises will get you blessings. And I want blessings. And I want to do what'll get them. And I'll get them. If I can just get one more squeezed out a week, I'll do that. You know, I'll take it. Now, if you will, look at Psalms 67, verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And as a result, notice, the whole earth shall be blessed. The whole earth shall increase her yield. And God, our God, shall bless us. What have I done? All I've done is just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. It's not hard to get blessings, folks. Just go through the steps. I've already told you now 5 or 4. Look at Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord. That's what praise is doing. You're delighting yourself in the knowledge you have about the Lord. You're thrilled to know and say what you know about the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord, and what? He shall give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you all kinds of blessings to tickle you. But you have to delight in the Lord, and that's praise. That's praise. Fifth, increase your generosity to God. Uh-oh, I knew that one was coming. Well, you want a blessing? You want a blessing? I'm just telling you how to get them. You don't want it, you don't have to take it. Increase your generosity to God. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. I hesitate to say you got money problems. Well, everybody say you got that right. Well, I got one of the answers for you. You need a blessing. You say you got that right. I'm telling you how to get it. They say, well, you got that wrong. No, I got it right. Notice, 2 Chronicles 31, 10. What is that? Here's another guy, I don't know. He called Azariah. That'd be a good name for a floor tile, wouldn't it? Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, say it. Now notice, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and we have left plenty, for the Lord has blessed his people. Huh? Any amens on that one? And that which is left, leftovers. So, boy, I never have any leftovers of money. Well, you need a blessing. What did people do to get the blessing? They brought the offerings. Tell you how to do it. Malachi 3:10. I can't afford to. Well, you can't afford a blessing then. That's what we do. Malachi 3:10. God says, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and test me, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a what? A blessing. And there shall be no room to hold your blessing. I got some pretty big pockets. You know, I got pockets all over these kilowatts. Fill them up, you know. But he says, no, first of all, you got to fill mine up, and I'll bless you. I'll bless you. Now you bless me first, and then I'll give you some. No, God says, you bless me first. Well, do you want a blessing? Nothing I can do about you, see. That's what he says. Bring it in. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus says this, give. Well, what happens if I give? You'll be blessed. It shall be given to you. Notice the measure of the blessing. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to you. What I have to do? Give. That's interesting. In the same vein, the same light, we have another situation that you can get a blessing in. Go back to Proverbs 22:9. This is related. I'm not saying the reason you give is to get blessed, but I'm saying you give and you're going to get blessed. You don't do these things just to get blessed, but you're going to get blessed if you do. Now, Proverbs 22:9. He that has a bountiful eye, that means he who is a generous giver, shall be blessed. Well, who's going to bless him? God. For he gives of his own bread to the poor and the needy. He that has a bountiful eye who will share his generosity, he will be blessed. The Bible tells you that. Look at Proverbs 19:17. He that has pity on the poor makes a loan to the Lord, and that which he gives, God will repay him. Again, that's the promise. There's the blessing if you want. Matthew 6:2-4. And Jesus said, thou when thou doest thine alms, when thou givest to the poor, don't sound a trumpet as the hypocrites do, attracting people to them in the streets so they'll applaud them. He says, if you do that, you got your reward. You won't get anything from God. Well, I want the blessings of God. I don't care about a guy clapping his hand and patting me on the back. I don't want that. I want that blessing. But when you do alms, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand does. That'd be a good trick. But anyway, he says, because then your alms will be given in secret, and the Father which sees this take place in secret shall bless you and reward you openly. There's a blessing. Philippians chapter 4. Paul is writing a note of thanks to the Philippian congregation, and he says, you Philippians knew that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia that no church was willing to help me concerning giving and my needs, but you alone were the only congregation that really helped me. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to take care of my needs. Then if you will, look at verse 19, what he says God will do for them. And we like to quote this verse out of context. But he said, because what you've done for me in my time of need, God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Don't separate the context. People go around, God will supply your need, God will supply your need. Well, if you want the blessing, you got to give to somebody else's need. But if you want it, there it is. Sixth, intensify your thanksgiving. If you're not thankful for what God has already given you, that pretty well influences him from giving you anything else. Psalms verse 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High. Now notice, then you can call on me, and I'll bless you, I'll deliver you. And then you'll have cause to glorify me and thank me again. And I'll do you another blessing, and you'll say, oh, thank you, God. And I'll give you another blessing, oh, thank you, God. And he said, that's the kind of a chain reaction we got going here. I give you one, you thank me. I give you one, you thank me. I give you one, you thank me. I like that, thanks. And I have other verses. I'll give them to you right quick if you want to write them down. Psalms 116, verse 12 and 17, if you want to write it down. Psalms 116, 12 and 17. And Psalms 92, verse 1 through 2. Psalms 116, 12 and 17. Psalms 92, 1 through 2. Seventh, search the Word of God more closely, paying a special attention to His commandments. Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, says God to Joshua. You shall meditate thereon day and night, that you may observe to do all according that is written therein. For then I will bless you. I'll make your way prosperous, and I'll give you good success. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3. For the man who delights in the law of the Lord, in his law doth he meditate day and night. God says, I'll bless him. I'll make him like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he shall bring forth fruit in season. He shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You want that blessing? Okay. In other words, Proverbs 28, verse 9. That tells you how to lose your blessing. Turn a deaf ear to God's commandments, and you'll lose your blessing. Eighth, intensify your humility. God needs to see that you're dependent upon Him. He needs to hear you say it. God, I need you. I'm desperate. I need you. I need your directions. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your protection. God, I'm destitute. I need your help. And that's what the Bible talks about, becoming poor in spirit. James chapter 4, verse 6. God gives blessings. God gives grace. But God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall bless you. He shall lift you up, Scripture says. That means bless you. Go to the next book. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may bless you or exalt you in due time. Then notice what it says. Cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Humble yourselves. God, I cannot get along without you. Please help me. Cried in desperation. And God says, I'll bless you when you really get need. When you're really hurting, when you really cry, I'll bless you. You say, oh, I can handle this on my own. I don't need God. Well, you won't get anything either, brother. Last, ninth, intensify your fear of the Lord. And that means respect. Respect of His position, respect of His person, respect of His authority. Go to Psalms 115. I'm going to close out with this and promise you. That'll probably be a blessing. Psalm 115, verse 13. The Bible says He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Psalms 103. Read three verses to you, and we'll close. Psalms 103. Begin with verse 11. As high as the heaven above the earth, so great is the blessing, the mercy toward them that fear the Lord. Verse 13, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. And the first part of verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is ever from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. The blessings that you want. What do you mean, seek ye first? That's what fear means. Dad, you can go first. Dad, you can have first choice of my time. You can have first choice of my life. You can have first choice of everything. I mean, God said, I want first. And that's what fear the Lord means. He gets to be first. Give of your best to the Master. Why are you giving the best? Because of who He is. And that's respect of the Lord. That's going to cost me. Yes, it'll cost you self-denial. But it'll pay you in blessings. Now, there are 9 ways to increase your blessings from the Lord. And I hope they'll help you get all you can because He wants to give. Father, we're thankful tonight for the blessing. And we're thankful tonight to know that we have not really received the showers of blessings that could be ours. And we've talked about 9 things tonight that we can do that would increase that number of blessings. And we can take it and throw it away. Or we can take it and we can believe it and practice it and be blessed. And it's up to us. But may we be wise and choose to have all the blessings of God that we can get. And may we not decide to live on God's second best, but may we seek to live on that plane of God's first best and the very best. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.